Welcome to this episode of Horrific History and Hauntings. I'm Beth.
And I'm Remy. We're your hosts here to talk about the stories that the history books ignore.
From horrific epidemics and ghostly hauntings to the catastrophes and tragic events that have sickened humanity.
Indeed. Beth, what happened today in history?
It is August 11th and Robin Williams died.
Oh no, poor Mr. Williams.
Yeah.
I liked him.
I'm not going into a story about you. He died. It was sad. He was funny.
Yes, he was.
So, we have another horrific hydros.
Oh.
Is what we're doing here.
I kind of like those.
First place we're talking about is the Sargasso Sea. It's in the Atlantic Ocean. Well, part of the Atlantic Ocean. And it's special because unlike the other seas, it's not surrounded by land.
Okay.
Instead, it is bordered by only ocean currents.
I did not know that.
Yes. It also has a unique type of seaweed called Sargassum. This is a special kind of seaweed that floats freely and reproduces in the open ocean, whereas most other types of seaweed tend to start growing on the sea floor.
That makes sense.
Yes. It's used as a nursery for baby turtles, home to shrimp, crabs, and fish. It is also a place the endangered eels lay their eggs, along with white marlin, sharks, and dolphin fish.
It's a thriving ecosystem all to itself.
Yes. Many stories make the Sargasso Sea sound like a dangerous place for ships to get trapped in seaweed. This is a theory as to why so many ships have vanished in the area of the Bermuda Triangle, because apparently it's in that area. In 1840, the London Times reported the discovery of a large and completely abandoned French ship called the Rosalie.
I've heard of that name.
Yeah, it's a vampire.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
A blonde vampire. Even though it seemed unharmed and sailing perfectly fine with a cargo of wine, fruits, and silk, as well as the captain's papers were still in place, no human life was found aboard the vessel.
That is a little bizarre.
In fact, the only thing living found aboard was a cat, some chickens, and some canaries that were near death from starvation.
Poor things.
Yeah. The state that the Rosalie was found in made it look as if the crew and passengers had just vanished.
Pirates.
Stories like this, as well as other similar disappearances in the area, started the legends of the Sargasso Sea being a dangerous place capable of trapping ships. Because four strong ocean currents surround it, sailing ships could suddenly lose all wind and then just get stuck in a loop.
That makes sense.
Or become lost in a vast open waters.
That also makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying.
Yep. Changi Beach is next.
Okay.
Changi Beach is a lovely spot in Singapore, featuring white sand, clear waters, and palm trees. And a horrific history. Otherwise, it wouldn't be on one of our episodes. During World War II, the Japanese took over Singapore because of these awful things that began occurring there, such as the Suk Ching Massacre, which basically translates to cleansing purge.
Who were they, I'm guessing, killing off?
The Chinese.
Okay.
It led to a bunch of Chinese men being killed in Singapore. Even though people were executed in different spots during the Suk Ching Massacre, 66 men were killed together on the Changi Beach itself. They were all tied up together and made to walk across the beach into the water. When they got to the edge of the water, they were shot. And anyone who did not die from the gunshot wounds was left to drown. Afterwards, all the bodies were pulled out and chopped into pieces.
Seems a little excessive.
And then those chopped up body parts were then buried in a mass grave nearby. So, of course, it's rumored to be haunted. People who have visited say they have heard crying and wailing, screaming, gunshots. Some have claimed to see puddles of blood appear on the sand, and then these bloody puddles just disappear. Apparitions have been seen there as well. For example, this one actually gives me flashbacks of one of the tabletop role-playing games.
Is there heads flying?
Some have claimed to have seen the heads of the victims of the massacre bobbing up and down in the water. Or even worse, the heads go flying across the beach.
Yeah, that is just like the heads you had. She was being assaulted by heads in a game once.
Yes, trauma. Others say they seem headless bodies walking where they were likely killed. Also, there were reports of actually seeing the massacre itself happen, which is, you know, we've talked about it before, the theory of the replaying traumatic, of scenes.
Yeah, traumatic event.
Yeah. Some of these reports are more violent and say they have gotten thrown around or scratched by unseen entities. Of course, there's a lady in white.
Oh, no.
I know. It's shocking, right?
We should have started a running tally. How many have we had so far?
I don't know. Too many. She's known to wander around while crying, as a lady in white typically does.
As they are wont to do.
Yeah. Which, as usual, people automatically assume she lost her lover. I don't know why they always assume it's a lover.
I would assume she got shot.
I don't know. Maybe, do you ever stop to think that it's not always about love? Maybe she just stubbed her toe or something.
Stubbed her toe, fell and broke her neck,
and then died
and
while
miserable.
Continuing to roam around and crying over her stubbed toe.
There's a lot of possibilities of why this woman's upset.
Yeah. It's either a lost lover or a lost baby.
Oh, yeah.
It's never, maybe her and her best friend had a fight and she just happened to die afterward.
No, Jezebel, I can't believe we
her
left
dog
it that
died
way.
And oh, no. Now she's trying to take a peaceful walk, ends up dying and
becoming a ghost.
Yeah. Stowe Lake is up next. It's actually been renamed Blue Heron Lake.
Like a heron? Like the
heron.
Bird? Like the bird.
The bird.
Yeah.
Yep. Stowe Lake is part of the Golden Gate Park and it's also said to be a hotbed of paranormal activity. This includes the Lady of the Lake ghost story.
Oh, I thought that was a King Arthur thing.
I don't know. Though details seem to vary, the basic story is about a Victorian woman who lost her infant in the lake.
Oh.
In her grief, she ended up drowning herself.
What color was her dress?
I don't know. Her spirit is said to wander the edges of the lake, though. Probably white. Well, let's just assume it's white.
Just assume. Yeah.
One of these versions states that she was taking her baby for a stroll around the lake, got distracted, and while talking to a friend and getting distracted, she looked back and the stroller was empty. So she panicked and ran to the lake to look for her child who had already drowned by the time she got there.
It's a mobile baby.
Yeah. Another version says she was boating when the infant fell in the water, and while trying to save her baby, they both ended up drowning.
I've heard of that happening, sadly.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. It's been so long since I typed these notes. For more than a century, people have reported seeing a woman in distress haunting Stowe Lake on foggy nights. Guess what color gown she has?
White.
Oh.
Of course.
Yeah. Some claim that she comes up and begs them to help her find her baby. Others say they have heard moans echoing across the water. And there's an old newspaper article from 1908 in the San Francisco Chronicle about a couple who were pulled over by a horse-mounted police officer. How does a horse-mounted police officer pull somebody over?
I've heard of it happening.
Do they just have their handheld blue and red lights, flashlight or something?
A little mobile rave. Twirling them in his hand.
I've never seen this before. I'm curious.
Oh,
this couple was freaked out, sweaty, and terrified, probably shocked that a horse is pulling them over. They told the police officer they had seen a lady floating out of the water in a long white dress with long hair and blue glowing around her. According to the local legend, if you drive your car near Stowe Lake or Blue Heron, it may stall.
Okay.
Also, if you say, "Woman of Stowe Lake, I have your baby," three times, she might appear.
What a horrible trick to play on someone.
Another story here is about the Pioneer Mother statue near the lake. Some say its head moves as if it's looking for something on the ground. People have also reported unexplainable cracks on the statue's head, as well as hearing voices and footsteps nearby.
I can't see it without my glasses. Oh, I hit my head again. Where's my glasses? Poor woman.
One of the more terrifying claims is of ghostly traffic stops.
Oh, again?
Some drivers in Golden Gate Park claim they have been pulled over by an officer who they say looks sick. That's when you drive off, because you don't know what illness he's got. When they later try to pay the ticket he gives them, they find out that there's no record of the ticket being given to them.
I would have just assumed it's a scam.
And then they search the name of the officer that gave the ticket, and they find out he's been dead for over a decade.
Man, he was dedicated.
He was an asshole. Giving tickets out, and even in death, why can't you just rest in peace? On the bright side, you don't have to pay those tickets.
Yeah. Well, technically, you just walked in and admitted to doing something wrong.
Go to court. I mean, what are they going to do in court if they... this person's dead.
Put you in an asylum.
Lake Ronkonkoma.
Where's that at?
Long Island, New York. The Native Americans who lived near it were scared of its water. Many believed the lake was bottomless because it's so deep. People would drown and their bodies would vanish into the depths and never be found. There are also stories about guys dropping fishing lines thousands of feet deep and still never hitting the bottom. For nearly 300 years, no one really knew how deep the lake was. But in 1975, three guys named Elias Lewis Jr., James Bayless, and Captain Nat Dickerson decided to measure the deepest spot. I don't know how they knew it was the deepest spot, but it was 2 feet down in the southwestern corner. And
what? Only two
no,
feet
no,
deep?
No, no, it, no. It was, no. It, like, it's the location, not the depth.
Oh, okay. it's so deep. Those, fishermen in their tall tales.
I worded that wrong. Just so you know, the lake is about 60 feet higher than sea level. It is now, according to one source I found, to be nearly 90 feet at its deepest. So,
what is all that about?
Even after the depth of the lake was measured, the bottomless rumors made its return in the early 1900s because a diving platform was built near a deep spot that would cause swimmers to accidentally step in the deep drop-off spot and drown.
Accidentally.
Yeah. In the 1930s, the body of a bootlegger from Connecticut who had been murdered and dumped in the lake in the Long Island Sound somehow showed up on the banks of Lake Ronkonkoma. He still had his hat, wallet, and flask on his body.
Huh.
There's also talk from the locals about a strong whirlpool in the center of the lake.
I mean, that could be the case. I don't know how whirlpools work. I'm not a waterologist.
Dr. Frederick Mather, who was in charge of the New York Fish Commission, tried to stock the lake with fish such as bass and trout. He then found that the water dozens of feet down was actually somehow 12 degrees warmer than the water at the surface.
Huh. There's something weird about this lake.
Yeah. A legend from the 1600s says that a young Native American princess fell in love with a blonde bearded woodcutter she seen across the lake. One version of the story says the princess caught the eye of the woodsman as well. And as in true legend, haunting and, you know, romance story fashion, the princess's father forbid them from seeing each other.
Uh-huh.
So she spent the next 7 years writing love letters to the woodsman on pieces of bark and floating them across.
That's sweet, I suppose.
Yeah. She never received a reply. So she eventually rode out into the middle of the lake to stab herself in the heart.
Oh, dear. I do hope this is all fiction.
Probably, because we've had a few of these as well. Not nearly as many as the white dress ladies.
Well, also not any that had... Usually it was a reciprocated love that went wrong.
Yeah.
Not just a... This guy probably had never seen a single one of those letters because they were just floating off somewhere.
Yeah.
Poor girl.
Also, who's going to think, let me pick up that piece of bark?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably it also. Now it's said that she pulls young men from the lake's depths each year to replace the love she had lost.
Poor thirsty girl.
Locals say the story is backed up by the various deaths from the drownings in the lake. According to David Igneri, a former longtime lifeguard and local historian, at least 160 people drowned in the lake between the mid-1800s and the late 1970s. He also mentioned from his research that only four of those victims were women. The rest were men.
Huh.
He began his job as a lifeguard at the lake during the 1960s, and during his 34 years guarding the lake's beaches, there were 30 drownings. And every single one during his time there were male.
He only wants to go out and swim along with the ladies. There's a man drowning, and he ain't going to help. It does sound like a lifeguard issue when it comes to that.
Oh.
He said, I was here for years, and all these men were drowning, but none of these women did.
He
I'm not kissing no dude. Toxic missing.
He also believes he may have had his own encounter with the princess. He was swimming toward the lighthouse when, as he got close, he found himself unable to swim forward. He then got picked up and thrown back. According to the legend, the princess is said to live in the deep hole near the lighthouse, which is where David was at the time of this trouble. Virginia S-H-U-T-T-E. Shoot. I feel like my mouth doesn't move the way it's supposed to say her last name. So I'm sorry about that. Who lives by the lake remembered her uncle being a lifeguard there when she was a little girl. It turns out he didn't stay at the job for very long because she said on his very first week, he dove off the diving board and came up with a body on him that he did not know. So somebody had drowned and was in the water and he just happened to jump in and come back up with this body. So he quit. On to the more well-known Niagara Falls. It started forming over 12,000 years ago. Melting ice from the last ice age ending released massive amounts of water, which flowed into the Niagara River. The water then plummeted over the Niagara Escarpment, and over time the water wore away the rock, causing the falls to move upstream to the spot they are now located. Today, the falls continue to change due to the river's freezing and thawing, the slow erosion, and occasional falling of rocks. To protect them, some work has been done, and less water now goes over the falls because it's used to create power.
Yeah.
Hydroelectric power. Native Americans were likely the first to witness the Niagara Falls. In December 1679, French explorer Father Louis Hennepin found them. The area soon became a key French base. The forts built at the mouth of the Niagara River so they could control access to the Great Lakes. Many daredevils have challenged Niagara Falls. One well-known case is Bobby Leach. In 1911, he was one of the few that survived his trip over the falls in a barrel.
Just one of the few.
In 1861, a Maid of the Mist boat overturned and killed a maid scheduled to perform a christening ceremony. The Hill brothers, William Red Jr. and Major Wesley, both were killed during separate stunt attempts. Major drowned in 1951 during a rescue, while Red Jr. died in 1953 when his vessel broke apart in the Niagara River whirlpool.
That sounds like a place you didn't want to go.
No. In 1918, a boat named the Iron Scow broke loose from its tugboat. It almost went over Niagara Falls. Two men were trapped on the capsized boat near the edge of the falls, but they were saved after a 17-hour rescue.
Ah, good for them.
Yeah. During a harsh winter in 1938, an ice jam caused the Honey Maud Bridge to collapse. Warning signs had led to the bridge being cleared before the collapse happening, so no one was hurt during that, but still interesting. About 20 to 25 people take their own lives at Niagara Falls each year.
That's unfortunate.
And of course, there's the occasional accident of falling in the water and going over the edge. In 1983, Shalkoff Power Plant at Niagara Falls collapsed into the Niagara River. This disaster caused major economic and environmental damage. In 1827, a local hotel owner sent a ship supposedly packed with ferocious animals over the falls.
Why?
Only a goose survived.
Ferocious.
Geese can be ferocious from what I hear. I've never had a problem, but Joey said he got attacked by a bunch of geese.
I've heard of them happening too. I want geese.
I don't care how ferocious they were.
I'm not going to sit over a fall. I wouldn't do that to them.
That was your idea of humane?
Wow.
Yeah. The Screaming Tunnel in Niagara Falls, Ontario is a 125-foot long tunnel built in the early 1800s. It was mainly used to drain water for the Grand Trunk Railway, and it also served as a path for farmers, their animals, and their equipment to get under the train tracks. Local legend says the tunnel is haunted by a young girl's ghost. There's different versions of this story. In one, she's trapped in a farmhouse fire. Another says her father burned her during a custody fight. If you can't have her, nobody can.
If I can't have her, nobody can.
Yeah. While another version suggests she was attacked and murdered inside the tunnel, and this is why people call it the Screaming Tunnel.
All sounds unpleasant.
Yeah. The more logical story or theory as to why the tunnel is called Screaming Tunnel comes from some local historians. They say a woman who lived nearby used to go there to scream about the difficulty in her marriage as a way of letting out her frustrations.
That's a lot sweeter. I prefer that story. Oh.
Birdie Hall is said to be haunted by the ghost of the owner's son. He supposedly drowned in the basement when the Niagara River flooded. He was trapped in the tunnel leading out of the basement, and now Birdie Hall is a museum. One of the strange things they claimed that happened was a dollhouse in one of the bedrooms kept mysteriously moving across the room. One of the psychics that came in claimed it was the boy, and he was upset that the dollhouse was on the side of the room where his bed should have been.
Of course.
Yeah.
Did they check it for wheels?
I don't know.
I don't know how dollhouses work. I don't know if they have wheels or not.
I don't know.
He asked me they should.
I don't think I've ever seen one with wheels, but that's the end of our horrific hydros.
Well, that was fun. It's been like 7 months since I recorded an episode. You should have went on some of your hydro stories since you've been on so many vacations.
I think it was Tropical Storm Dexter. While I was on my most recent one, was off the coast, and the waves were taller than Joey, and the current was strong, and I nearly drowned. Not really, nearly drowned. Joey, on the bright side, has taken swift water classes and, you know, was able to pull me out of that situation. But yeah.
Yeah, we were on the verge of losing a member. Can you imagine? We'd have blown up in popularity, just like a Van Gogh or something.
Okay.
She was a star taken before her time.
Oh, I would have had my own horrific hydro.
Yeah.
You would have had to come on here all by yourself.
Let me think. Who would I bring on to do that? Someone, respectable and enjoy it. Brooke, that's been fun. I'm not sure how the audio quality is going to be since I'm in a room, but we're going to release these regardless of how they sound because it's been so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. If you like what you heard here, we have so many other things to find us on, other podcast episodes, everything. We're part of the Gruesome Gaming Group Podcast Network. You can find our links in the description of the episode. There will be a Linktree link. There'll be a eBay shop there with odds and ends that we're selling. And also, eventually, will be merch on there. There'll be a link to send a tip or donation. We appreciate that. It helps keep the podcast hosted. There's Pinterest. There's Facebook groups, like I said. Other ways to reach out. Let us know what you think. There's emails below the description or in the description at the very bottom. You can email us if you don't want to use one of the social links. But yeah, that's all I can think of. Anything you should say, Beth?
Don't wear a white dress.
Yeah, don't be wearing white dresses. It's just asking for trouble in the future. I mean, if you really like that dress, I guess. All right. Well, that was very educational. Thank you for listening. I've been Ramey.
And I'm Beth.
This has been HH&H. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.